Blog Talk Radio.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act.
Ain't no stopping us now.
but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They all speak words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And then there are some others who tell people in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we are saying something else. We want all. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Here we are once again. It's Friday night. It's the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. I'm your host. Some say Rev Ron. Some say Mr. Electric. Some say Dr. Ron L. Robinson. But just come on the show and listen to what we're trying to do to change lives. We talked about the purpose of the Black Billionaires Business Billionaires Network Club. A lot of people thought it was just to get rich quick scheme, and it's not. We're here to empower people. We're here to help you economically. We're here to change your destiny. We're here to also set a mental condition where you can see yourself in a better future. We're here to encourage you to have faith in yourself, have faith in God, have faith in your family, and move forward. So we're here to change lives. That is our purpose. Economics is one of the bases of it. Economics can change lives. It's wonderful to see people thriving. It's wonderful to see people prospering, and it's wonderful to see the community prospering. $50,000 loan that's available through one of our finance sources. It's a loan, it's not a gift. But if you have a business in the Black community and you can show where you can increase more jobs in that community, specifically in an economically challenged community, an impoverished community, if you will, a community that has a high level of unemployment, high level of drugs and alcoholism, high level of crime, you know, the poverty, stricken communities, challenged with a lot of challenges. If you're a business in those communities and you can use $50,000 loan, which is payable back by 5 years and a 6% interest rate, if you have that ability, you have that business, we want to talk to you. We want to see your business proposal, executive summary, and your budget. And if you can add another two or three jobs, four jobs, if possible, with that $50,000 budget and expand your business, we want to talk to you and we want to help you go forward. That's the purpose of the Black Business. It's a club of people coming together in the community. Okay, the word billionaire, you know, it doesn't have to mean that you have to have that title or the economic status, but you can have a, you can be encouraged. Life is a destiny. Life is a circumstances of traveling from one place to the other, from one level to the next. You have to have a goal, whatever it is, whether you're going to play basketball for the football or baseball or soccer for your school team, your college team, university team, whether you're going to play pro ball at some point in life, young men, young women, you start off in collegiate sports. You start off as a child studying. Some of the greatest sports figures now today, the greatest sports athletes, started off children training to do that particular sport. And everything takes training, takes time. It takes a roadmap to where you want to go. So if you don't have any type of goal that you're trying to meet, if you don't have any desire to leave the position that you're in now, if you don't have an idea of what you can do to get yourself out of the condition that you're in, you will stay in that condition. You have to seek better living conditions, a better life, and that is the purpose of the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. We are trying to gear you towards thinking better, whatever that might be. You don't have to be a billionaire, not to be a millionaire. It don't have to be a thousandaire. It could be just being comfortable, having a good career, having a good job, having a good establishing, have an entrepreneurial spirit, start yourself a business, and accumulate finances so you can be self-sufficient and independent. So much is going on in America now, politically, socially, economically. There's a great, great divide in America now between the haves and the have-nots, the 1%ers that control everything. Everybody's struggling, middle class, upper middle class, rich, poor, indifference. The politics are off the chain. Republicans are attacking Democrats. It's a war zone in America. Those who are most vulnerable are those who are most economically deprived, those who do not have a high school diploma, those who do not have a college degree, those who do not have a university postgraduate degree, those who do not have a vision, those who do not have a business. If you are in that condition, you're going to find it quite difficult moving forth in the next coming years in this United States of America, the last bastion of freedom, so they say. But you know, when they get cold, we get pneumonia. The conditions of the African-American people are deplorable. The statistics are out. We are the last hired, the first fired. We are most impoverished. We are most unemployed. We are most homeless. We are most incarcerated. We are most addicted. We are most sickly. We are most likely to not graduate high school. We have the highest percentages of dropouts, the high percentages of children being expelled, the high percentages of children not participating in the school system, the highest percentage, so they say, of children who are academically not performing at school level. And it's deplorable. The whole condition is deplorable because an individual person have to have a desire for themselves. And once they have that desire, they can move forward in life. And we can see there's police killings. There's neglect in the healthcare system. There's neglect in the political system. The school boards are falling apart. The schools are falling apart. The curriculums that they're teaching is inaccurate history. They're totally going to annihilate any level of history of Black people in America by saying this critical race theory. They're getting ready, people. If you're not prepared to move forward for yourself, if you're not prepared to fight for better education, better communities, better policing, cops are killing people at a record rate higher than we ever saw before, even since Jim Crow, slavery, and et cetera. 25 people last couple of months have been lynched, and these lynchings were surrounded by police, and none of these are being investigated by nobody, and the cops are calling them suicides, and there is no further investigation whatsoever. This is a dangerous, dangerous society that we're propelling ourselves towards, an unjust society. We're going back to Jim Crow laws. We're going back to enslavement. We're going back to depriving people based on the color of their skin and their hair. We're depriving them of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. The Constitution never was written for us. The laws, municipal, judicial laws were never written for us. And we are feeling the blitz of that now, that this society was not constructed around the betterment of people of color. And we're suffering. And if you love your children, you love your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, children, your godchildren, your neighbor's children, if you love children in general, and I'm not talking about a specific color of children, because all children shall suffer, white and black. The Bible says the slave master will not be free until he freed the slave. So we all in this together. But if we cannot see as a people, a human being, the concept of black and white came 1415 from a Portuguese writer who was asked by the queen to write a reasonable factor of why they started to enslave people in the country called Africa now. And they wanted to make up a scenario why they did it. And he wrote this thing called blackness and whiteness, because you can't have whiteness without blackness. You can't have blackness without whiteness. So this is all a concept. But if we fall for it, we shall find ourselves in a very deep, 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 dark place in our lives. So we need to step up. We need to educate ourselves. We need to be self-sufficient. And we need to empower one another. We need to work more towards, the Bible says in times of tyranny and hard times, you need to turn towards each other instead of turning against each other. That means all of us, whether you immigrant here, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation, if you just got here yesterday and you're a person of color, we need to work together. We need to come together, everybody, everybody. There's no big I's and small U's. We need to work together as human beings. But the first thing is that in order for people to respect you, you have to respect yourself. So if I cannot respect a brother or sister who immigrated into America who look like me, then how can I say I can respect a white person who do not look like me? The first person I have to respect is the person that looked like me. We have to find common ground between those people of color who immigrated to America from different places and those who've been here since the enslavement period, 400 years. We have to find common ground. We have to find humanity amongst ourselves. We have to find some way to come together and work together. We need each other. There's nobody more important than anybody. God has no preference for man. He doesn't put one above the other. It doesn't matter if you was here for 400 years and enslaved. It doesn't matter if you came here yesterday. We still have a common, all of us together. We have a common destiny, everybody together. And I do say we need to find more commonality amongst us as people of color than we sit around looking for differences. You can look for differences in everything and everybody if you want. And you can also look for commonalities amongst yourselves. You can look for things that bring you together, or you can look for things that divide you. The white man have created an environment of division. That's why he calls some people black, some people white, and we call all these different names, and we feel I'm better or I'm different than this person. We have slick names in different countries and different languages. We're calling black people all kinds of disturbing names, and as if we're less than them. That have to stop. We have to, but the black people themselves have to see each other differently and have to treat each other differently. If we respect each other and we hold up a level of respect and we challenge others to not disrespect us, we shall be respected people, because we are the largest level of consumers. We make this country. These inventions in America was done by the slaves who were brought here. 50,000 inventions. Everything you can think of that utilized to advance society have been invented by black people. So we have to stand up and act like somebody. I hear them talk about black excellence. That's great. Be in black excellence. Be black excellence. Live black excellence. Talk black excellence. Be above board. Be a woke brother and a conscious brother. Be a woke sister and a conscious sister. Be aware of your surroundings. Read, read, read. Read all kinds of books. Get yourself familiar with languages. Understand what's going on. Understand how societies are controlled by a few while the masses run around terrorizing each other and living in impoverished areas. So we have to keep those things in mind. As I do my monologue, you know, the general, give you a general idea of what we're doing, what we need to do, and how we need to go forward. I want to also introduce you to a brand new program coming on Wednesday nights. Dr. Yvette Kinnerick is having a program called Empowering Lives and Shaping Destinies. Empowering Lives, Shaping Destinies. Dr. Kinnerick has been on the show many a times. She is extremely well-versed in psychology, psychiatry, metaphysics. She studied extensively social, economic, and political conditionings of people, and she have written many, many, many books. If you Google her name, Dr. Yvette, Yvette Kinnerick, Kanarick, you'll find many, many books when you Google her name, in her name, and subsequently important subject matter to help humankind. So we want you to stay aware and stay abreast of her show. It's coming up on next Wednesday night, 7 to 9, same channel, same dialing in, 347-857-1311. And we want you to be aware of her books and things that she's doing in that area. And we're going to, and she's in the show with us tonight. We're going to let her come on the show and talk about her show and what she's going to be doing and where she sees the show going towards consistently helping, empowering men and women, boys and girls throughout the society. And so we're going to give a nice, nice hand to Dr. Dr. Yvette Kinnerick, it's so good to have you on.
Dr. Ron, it is always, always a pleasure to be talking with you, especially on your program here. Thanks for having me, and I just loved the discussion that you had. It is very empowering.
Now, I am excited about your program just by listening to the title, because titles mean something. Like, people don't just say, oh, I'm going to have a show about girls and boys. You know, titles, words mean something. And people, when I hear empowering lives, those two words has a lot of meanings, to empower people's lives. That's very, very important. Then I hear shaping destinies. That's very powerful. Those two concepts together, people, when you put them together, it's extremely important and it's extremely thoughtful. I'm seeing that Dr. Kinnerick had to put a lot of thought into her show and what she's going to try to do. Dr. Kinnerick, the heading of your show and the complexities that goes within developing it and the idea of what you're going to achieve is fantastic. Because one of the things that I noticed as years going by being in America or anywhere in this universe, people are losing power and people have no direction in terms of where they're going. You talk about how you see the great divide in people today in terms of their empowerment and self-empowerment and self-improvement and shaping their destinies, and how you would like your show to help guide people.
Dr. Ron, I'm listening to what you're saying, and so much of what you're saying are things that I am going to be addressing in my shows. Empowering lives. You know, that's a very strong concept. And I am going to be focusing on the power that we have. So, we have in our body at any given time enough electricity to light a bulb, to set a bulb alight. We are working all the time with energies, because I'm talking with you now, and this is an energy transfer that's happening. I'm talking on the phone. It's going through the electromagnetic field, electromagnetic, meaning electrical, and magnetism. So we are beings that interface with the field that is an electrical field, but which is also the field where magnetism and power is released to go forth and to do that which we are called to do. So in the very first set of shows that I'll be doing, I will break down to everyone that's listening how they function in the electromagnetic field, which is called the spiritual realm, or it is referred to as the metaphysical elements of how we exist. When you know how to perform, so it's not just saying, I'm going to be powerful, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get this done. I will teach the people how to do it, how to allow their personal spirit to go forth into the electromagnetic field and collect the things that they need and bring it back to them so that they can be powerful, because they're using their power. They're using their electricity or their spirit in a very, very strong. So that is the basic structure and foundation of what I will be doing.
Great, great. A lot of people are feeling, and I hear a lot of this on my show, and I read a lot in different newspapers and some newspaper ethnic-based newspapers and magazines and talk shows have ethnicity purposes or racial overtones in terms of, you know, what they're trying to do with Hispanic community, the Black community, you know, the LGBTQ communities. You hear that people feel such a need to have a movement. Everybody feels the need to have a movement. Even the Caucasian white male, white Anglo-Saxon American was saying that they feel left out or less empowered. I don't understand how we, you know, to get to that concept. But anyway, they say they feel they're left out. They're losing power, and they want to find ways and means to empower themselves. So a lot of people today, they feel like, okay, I need to make a movement. I need to get a group of people like myself, and we need to find a targeted plan. We need to find a targeted adversary. We need to find a targeted resolution to our problem. So a lot of people feel empowerment and destiny shaping comes with a group of people who are in the same boat, addressing the issue as a group, as opposed to individual. You're focusing, what will you be focusing on, an individual person or a group dynamics, or how would you be, in terms of your show, in terms of what you're doing, in terms of information that you're giving out, is it individual, empowerment and destiny, or is it group orientated?
Dr. Rob, it is both. My first show that I'm going to be airing on Wednesday is going to explain to the African American person why they are persecuted. Black people globally are persecuted, and it's not just here, it's in Africa, it's wherever they have migrated. It dawned upon me that this is a spiritual matter. Now, I follow Judaism as my main religious persuasion. And at this time, it's the high holiday season. So from Sunday evening, Sukkot would start. And in my quest for understanding who I am as a spiritual person, I did research and came to understand that the majority of black people who were taken as slaves and brought to the region were Jewish people who were the direct descendants of Abraham and Isaac. And there is a proliferation of information to explain to the people here, listen, because of your heritage, though, when we go back all the way, and I am going to be taking a biblical approach to a certain extent, and the Torah, when you go back to the very, very beginning, when they said that God made Adam, Adam would have been living in the area called the Tigris-Euphrates. That is an area that was vastly populated eventually by black people, and black people spread themselves out to China and Japan and other areas. So that when you look at them, you can see, or if you do the DNA testing, because there is evidence of DNA, you will see that the African person, especially Africans who were taken as slaves, were descendants of Abraham. So if you're going to take it from a spiritual perspective, there is a prophecy or a promise of exceeding wealth that should come to this group of descendants of Abraham. But we don't know it. We don't know it. It becomes difficult to accept because the historical evidence has been hidden from us as a nation. So I'm going to go into that in some detail so that people understand who they are. Then I'm going to talk about the seasons. Everything that grows and prospers, it grows in a season. The seeds are planted in a season. But if we don't know our season, if we don't know our time, then we are not planting properly. And when I say planting, we are not reaching into the spirit realm or the electromagnetic realm in the right time to bring things to us. This is an overarching understanding. And a lot of lies have been perpetrated, not just to the black people, but the people of the world. There's a lot of information that has been hidden. But thank God for things like the internet and people who are getting a call. It's like a consciousness that has happened, and it has been happening over the last 20 years or so, a little longer than that, but there is a consciousness of wanting to find out the truth. And I believe the level of persecution that the black man endured. Now, when we look at the slaves were taken from a number of areas. There were 7 major areas, the Cameroon, the Bight of Benin, the Niger Delta. There were areas. Those areas were highly populated by Jewish people, the Igbos, the Fulani, the Yoruba. And these people who were brought, they were and are the descendants of Abraham, and there is a promise of wealth. But we need to know that. And we need to know the seasons when we should do certain things. When it comes to holidays, there is something called Pentecost. The Roman Catholic calls it Corpus Christi. Anything that you plant on that day, on the stoniest ground, will grow. And I came from a farming community, and we knew that. Since then, and we reaped, we always reap. There are short term, there are medium term, and there are long term. When I talk about planting and reaping, when is the right time to start your business? When is it the right time to release your personal spirit, to bring certain things, certain connections, certain people, certain influences to come into your space so that you can apply that for your success? Those are some of the things that I will be addressing in the program. It's really about empowering lives.
Okay, interesting. I was reading a time ago, and I'm trying to remember all the names. Okay, I was reading some time ago, back in 1450, Portuguese king. He looked it over, what we know now as Africa, and he decided that he was going to enslave those people. He was going to capture them, start enslaving them. Now, there's been slavery, you know, throughout history since the beginning of time. But somehow he decided he wanted to infiltrate this particular region and these particular people. And he already orchestrated or devised or put together his plan to do that. And he was saying to himself, I need to get a narrative, a good reasonable factor why I'm doing this. For some reason, he felt he needed to devise some kind of scheme or some kind of reasonable factor that the other people or people generally would be accepting to this enslavement. And so he went to this writer, terrific writer, I guess, a big writer. Right? Guy was writing books, and he was writing about society and things of that sort, and he was very popular around Portugal and some places around Europe as well. And so he goes to him and he says, listen, you know, I got this plan, and I want to enslave these people in Africa, but I need a story. I need somebody to put a story out there, if you will. You know, he wanted to create the environment to make it comfortable for everybody to accept that he's going to enslaving these people. And he knows, and the Portuguese, if you know the Portuguese, they were great navigators, but they also were very savage. And whenever you read about the Portuguese, it's like they started going into villages, things of that sort, even in Europe. And they would destroy the people. They were very barbaric in their and their military concepts. And so I guess he knew that that's how they do business, and maybe they got some backlash in some of the cases in Europe for doing things in that way. And so he felt that he needed to conjure up a story to make this enslavement of these people in Africa work. And so this guy, Gomez, and anybody can go and read about this, G-O-M-E-S, Day, D-E, Guerrera, G-U-R-A-R-A. And he put together this concept, as the story goes. This writer, Gomez, put together this concept of something called blackness and whiteness. And what he did is he devised a psychosocial conditioning or thought that blackness was dark, evil, barbaric, like ancient or, you know, raw, you know, undeveloped, uncivilized, undeveloped, you know, and you look at the African villages and things of that sort at that time, and even sometimes today, the culture, the environment is different than what we so-call modernization or whatever we call modern societies today. So based on all that stuff, he based his premise on the fact that the Africans were barbaric, that they were evil, that they were, you know, they were devil worshiping, and they were creating all kinds of havoc in society, and they were going to destroy humanity, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that negative connotation became towards the blackness. And the whiteness was pure. It was humanitarian. It was doing goodwill to others. It was the work of God. And that started what I feel we have today is a negative connotation towards blackness and a positive purity, humanity towards the whiteness. And so these concepts started this king of Portugal. It gave him the ability to go in savagely enslave these people and do what he did, and people bought into this concept of this thing called blackness and whiteness. And I was always telling people, you know, we all buy into it in terms of the terminology, but not to the point of where people might buy into it in a different sect. But it seems like to me it still carries that connotation. So I'm not saying in a bad sense in a way. I remember James Brown saying, "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud." I remember myself as a young person just feeling proud to be able to say that I'm black and I'm proud, you know, different movements, like power movements, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, taking the negativity out of blackness and creating a positivity, I guess, if you will. And so people, and from that whole story, and from what I know today as black people, white people, blackness, whiteness, whatever, people get so entrenched into things that society throws to them. It seems that people do not question conditions. They don't question, you know, fables. They don't question stories. They don't question, you know, because I mean, when I was young, I questioned I'm black. You know, black is, you know, because we used to, when I found out who they identified me, they said I was a colored person. Then they said I was a Negro. Then they said I'm the black. Then they said I'm the black American. Then they said I'm the African American. You know, and so you take on these social titles, if you will, and they carry with them luggage. They carry with them an idea. It's ideological to say that somebody is Hispanic, somebody is European, somebody is African, somebody is Asian. It carries on it, you know, the figure of your imagination is, okay, they do this. They, you know, when you stop thinking of people and people putting people in the category, everybody always associates something with a race. So they'll say, like, Italians eat spaghetti, right? Irish drink a lot, you know? And so it's like these cultural things, these cultural little habitats, if you will, it becomes a part of the psyche that people see you. You know, people see you. African-Americans can dance, you know, and so people are sane, you know. So people just, you know, give you these qualities or whatever, and maybe you can't dance and maybe you can't sing, but if you're African-American, like, oh, my God, you know, what happened to you? You know what I'm saying? And so what I'm saying is that people take on these attributes, or they take on the psychosocialization. They take it on, and it becomes meaning to them. Like I used to, when I was growing up, back in the 50s and 60s, Hispanic people did not want to speak English. They felt if they spoke English, they lose their Spanishness, if you will. I don't know if they're such a word as Spanishness, but they lose who they were, whether they're Latino or if they're Puerto Rican, if they're Mexican, if they're Dominican, you know, Venezuelan, Peruvian, whatever. They did not want to speak English. When they came to America, they were resisting it, and that's why America had to go into bilingual programs and stuff like that. But they felt that if they were to speak English, they would lose their Hispanicness or whatever that situation is. So I'm just saying that people tend to assert the things that sometimes really don't exist in a sense, if you will. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Dr. Rob, you talk about the Portuguese, and the Portuguese got a contract called the Asiento. And the Asiento was a contract that ultimately was given to them by the Holy See, or what we call the Vatican, to permit them to go and snatch people, kidnap people, abduct people. So now it's coming home to roost. We are seeing a lot of abductions and sex trafficking. And I am wondering if people are understanding that this is what Black people endured, now that it is happening to other races. It's not just confined to African-American persons. So they were given the Asiento, but the Africans were very, very way advanced in navigation. And one of the things that was very surprising to me when I wrote the historical volume, so I have rewritten the history and put a lot of truths inside there. And when the Spanish were planning to come to the region, and of course they got a contract which ultimately came from the Holy See, which told them, go and conquer these people, go and convert them into Christianity and make them their barbarians, and you would have made them better. But Columbus had a map that showed the outline of the American coast. And this map, the Pyrenees map, was in existence for more than 400 years before Columbus came to the region. And the Africans who were coming back and forth and trading and intermingling with the tribes, the Aztecs, the Mayas, the Incas, and the Toltecs and the other tribes that inhabited North, Central, and South America, they were intermingling with them. So the African Americans were here much longer than slavery. There was another interesting development, and that was Darwin. Charles Darwin said that there were two races. One is a superior race, and the other is an inferior race. And the inferior race, he identified, the superior race he identified as European and European descent. The inferior race were the barbarians, the non-Europeans, indigenous people. And Charles Darwin's entire theory of evolution was one that was designed to prove that the European and European descent were people who were superior to other races. And we continue in that vein. We are continuing to study genetics. And I would say it was a shock to me to know that we do not have anything inside of us that is called genes. Genes is supposed to have been a spiritual seed that was implanted in hominins, and some of them turned out to be the Caucasian race, and some of them turned out to be the non-Caucasian races or the non-European races. But we have nothing inside of us called genes. But what Charles Darwin did, he said, well, the hair of people are different, the eye colors are different, and the skin is different, which means that there is a protein, because the hair has a strong component of protein and the skin and so on. He says there is a protein causing these differences, because they wanted to find a biological reason for them to continue to say that there are two distinct races, or three, or the non-Caucasian, the indigenous and barbarian people, that this is what he made. But the gene is supposed to be a seed that was planted in humans by the god Pan. But if Pan is a god and he's a spirit, then the seed he gave is spirit. We do not have any particle, any biological particle inside of us that is identified as a physical, tangible, and sentient element called genes. We also do not have DNA. We have people say, what's in your DNA? And they talk about DNA. We do not have DNA. DNA is a chemical. It is a chemical that is used to analyze how we process protein. And then they say, if you're processing protein in this particular way, well, then you're non-Caucasian, you're non-European. Then they went further, and they got a map of the world, and they divided this map of the world. It's called the half map. And they say, okay, a group of people will come from here and there and there, and they process genes differently. So when you do this DNA testing, they're going to tell you you're 90% this, 10% that, 5% that, or whatever they'll tell you. All they're telling you is based on how you process protein, because protein is high in the skin. But the theory of evolution, genetic theory, they are all very, very racist theory. And from that, there has been a pattern that was followed and is being followed rigorously to get rid of people that are non-European and non-European descent. Because Darwin said, you need to get rid of these people. They are inferior genes, and we just want superior genes. So, one, you must not help them. You must not help them. And two, you must do things to make sure that they do not succeed. These are the kinds of information that I will be sharing. And I will go in more details. And I will go slowly, so because it is in-depth material, people know some of the things but I am going to explore and expose, because we have been lied to for too long.
Interesting, 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 very interesting. We're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come back. Dr. Kinnerick, you can still be with us?
Yes, I will still be with you, Dr. Rock.
Okay. All right, great. We're going to take a commercial break, pay some bills, and we'll be back in a few.
Yeah. Oh. Entertainment. Worldwide. Network. We all live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Wade. I sang on Payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Thing, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Chuckle Traps.
This your peeps, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
It's your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouth.
Yo, what's good? This is Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hamson.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Cates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB. Cooney.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy Size Money.
This your boy Big Chad Domingo.
Bye bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy J Futuristic.
This your folk Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end, getting blessings. Wise Life Records, and you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Child.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the State Criminal Court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight, proceeding over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled SAG Pants Equals a SAG Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of The Winning Team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time, Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time, call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazine, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour bookings, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Work. We on live. We in your speakers. Hitting on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
We live
live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
And we are back, and we're going to bring in our enigma, Mrs. Carolyn Smith, always has a good report for us and have updated information pertaining to social programs and opportunities and also things that we have to be aware of. So let's give a nice hand to Mrs. Carol Smith. Carol Smith, it's so good to have you.
Oh, my God. I've never been called Carol Smith in a long time. What did I do wrong? I see you got the therapist on, and as me being a vet, I do anger management. I'm licensed in it, but seem like you pulled out the top professional queen. So I just like to know I'm being called Carolyn. What did I do? How you doing, ma'am? It's a pleasure meeting you. I'm so glad you're on the show, and I'm glad you come to get joined.
I'm going to ask Dr. Canary, did you do something? Dr. Canary, did she do anything?
She probably did. We don't know.
I already confessed. I spoke to the Lord, but I tell you, I have no shame. They call me the Enigma, so I'm just a little bit of everything in the... and a whole lot of everything, but I really appreciate you coming on and, you know, being an added force to the program and to the Ethiopian Federation, and I'm just so happy that you're with us, so I don't have to be called by my name when I'm getting in trouble, and everybody else can confess this. Where's Winborn?
Carolyn Smith. Let me get that straight now, you know. You know, I'm from South Carolina. You know we mess up everything. You know how that goes.
Oh, no, that's not even an excuse. You going to do that in front of the queen? Did she not say she's a doctor of therapy? Stop playing. We all got to come out. We got to be real now. She's going to be on Wednesday, and she's going to be taking notes. I'm not the only client. You're not going to play. Even if you got a doctor's degree, you in trouble too. So I just want you to know I'm just happy that you're here. It's been so wonderful that things are happening with us, and I'm glad that we're going to have there's a meet and greet at the new building on 158th Street. And I hope that we all get down there and, you know, see the office space. And not only will you be able to talk on the phone, but hopefully you come and help us with our anger management programs and, you know, really enhance us. So Winborn is down there. They're supposed to do a meet and greet at the building and getting to know the community. And he was telling me, he said, well, you didn't get the notice. I was like, okay, well, we're going to announce it on the radio today that the office is starting to open up slowly but surely. I heard they had some good food there, and they're starting to say hello, how you doing to the community. So it's been a long time coming, and congratulations to the Federation and Local 26
Amen.
For opening the building.
Let's give them a hand for that.
Yes. And you too, Dr. Winborn, and to the gentleman who was the director previously before. And my surprise for y'all is that I'm trying to get plaques made to give to certain people to show appreciation. I think that we should do that, but that's something that I want to do, and that's my project. And I just want to say that we need to put a board of all our members and those who are with us and add the new queen's name onto it, and, you know, so everybody know that they're part of. And at the end of the year, you know, we come together and give thanks. And I'm just so thankful that we lived this long to come this far, and nothing is easy, but we waited a long time for this moment. So I'm glad they're doing the meet and greet. And also, I had talked to a lot of people about villages that were in 50 states. There were black villages with banks and lawyers and doctors and everything, and, you know, Native Americans that were wiped out and made into lakes and burnt down and made into parks and things of that sort. So those things are coming up, and people are recognizing that there are villages that are still underwater that they made a lake out of. And the main one that they're looking at now is Central Park, how we've had almost 5,000 killed and, you know, buried, and, you know, they made a lake over there to sort of, you know, bless it. But, you know, the histories of everything that we've ever had is coming up. So that should make blacks a little more proud of who they are and know that they did not just, you know, poor. Being poor is not a hereditary thing. We are rich in so many ways, and we have to get back to being who we are and being, you know, not disciplined, but knowing who we are is being respectful towards who we are. And, you know, knowing our children and start pulling them in, and they don't have to be your children for you to love them and give them wisdom and stop all the predatory things that is happening to our kids. 35 and up, see our kids who are 12, 13, 15, 17 don't have a job. They might be hungry, and the first thing they'd rather give them is drugs instead of helping them get a job and better themselves, or helping them learn how to buy real estate and things of that sort. They rather give them a gun and give them a job as far as dealing and hustling and taking over buildings. And these are things that I am fighting to, you know, make sure that the neighborhood knows that we have to look out for each other, and we have to have programs for these young adults. We cannot wait on government. Government is not our friend. We have to start looking to build up certain villages that consist of mixed races. Unfortunately, racism had been poured out way before this happened, and this is why we're separated. In the Reagan era, he was traveling and, you know, telling people, and my students would come back and tell me that they was told when they come to America not to socialize with black people until they take it upon themselves to learn why and, you know, socialize and know that there's a variety of black people, you know, and some of us could be worse than whites at times, depending on the area and where you're studying or working and who you're relating to. We've always known that we have to learn different languages in order to relate to each other, if it wasn't but a hello. But since we never had a language, and those who are Native American blacks always had a language, and blacks from slavery forgotten their language. So those who come and have their own tribes and languages, those who don't have a language feel a little threatened, and English is not your language. But you can find your tribe, and you can pull yourself in, and you can learn French, comme ça va, je m'appelle Caroline. You can learn
African.
don't start you showing off. You know there's a queen on the line. I hope she take it, though.
You start talking French, you make me very feel very happy.
Say to all of y'all who are Asian. I was always taught in the military, if you didn't know, and I learned from my father as well, if you don't know, but
I
to say good morning.
I've known you, I did not know you speak French. I'm just so
happy. I speak a lot of things, but mostly I try not to speak nigger. I even got a compliment from Dr. Winborn, said that I treated certain situations with a doctor's degree, and I felt really good about that, because there are times I felt like just sticking a grenade to it and just letting it go on about its business and blow up. But I try not to let that happen. You know, that's why God wakes us up, and if anything, I do believe in our Lord, and I know that God exists and the Holy Ghost and everything else that we have. These are the signs. And I have to represent my mother and father to the best of my ability. And my kids are definitely showing off and making me be responsible, because I've never been poor. I might not have as much as those, but I am the richest woman in the world when it comes to my two sons. And I just don't know where they came from. I know where they came from before Ron says anything. But I just, you know, when you have children that is in a world of chaos and madness and sin, and they still have mannerism of a man and still carry out that trait and even make you check yourself. It's just so beautiful to have that, you know. I'm so blessed to have them in my life, and they wake me up to a lot of things, and they teach me a lot of things. And Dr. Robinson knows that I really, you know, they really have let me feel like a woman this year. I have never felt, you know, as the gay people say, I have never felt so much like a drag queen. I mean, I'm able to, you know, I've always wore jeans, and I always felt like I'm at war because
I'm
of all my
I'm can never
ways.
Respond to that.
Now I put my guards down a little bit. They kind of tell me what I don't need to fight about or argue about. You know, they tell me about, you know, you don't want to lose your temper. We don't want you to have, you know, we know you're a jarhead, but now this is your time. And I've never been this, I don't know how to describe it. I just never felt like, you know, this loved and protected in my life. And I feel naked, kind of, so to speak. I just, you know, like, you need me to warm up some food for you? No, that's okay. We all right. And, you know, you need me to do, you've done enough. And it's like, what? So now I'm able to save up and go to Paris and leave the country that I haven't left since 1989. And I've traveled the world. I've seen things, but I haven't seen anything as beautiful. You know, America is a beautiful, beautiful country. The people need to be as beautiful as the country. And the kids don't want to see any more racism. They don't even want to deal with race anymore. They thought by this time that we should have all killed this noise and started something new like evolution and space travel and, you know, pulling together and knowing how to work the computers, you know. And they don't want to be old and not know how to be happy. They don't want to be old and not know how to cook and make their own hamburger. They want to know how to survive. They want to know their own old stories. They don't want to go through changes. And this gun war that we're having because of the government is really, you know, we was told that it was coming. We was already aware. We are able to stop this madness. We're able. We as a people do not depend on the government to stop anything. We as a people and the kids, I do believe in our future. We created them. And it's just so wonderful that we're coming together for these kids. And the kids are young adults. And the thing is that everywhere else, nobody is thinking about having babies or getting married and doing all the commercial things that we do in America. They don't care if they never have a husband. They care about having their own business and making sure that there's productivity and that food is being grown in their country. They care about clearing up all the massive garbage that we have growing, and we may not see it in America, but the oceans have seen it, as to the point it's affecting fish and making a new breed. We have to stop being selfish and know that God and Jesus and our Lord is not playing with us. These are the days that we have to give back and give thanks. I am so grateful for us. I'm so grateful that he let us live to the time that he's coming to get rid of all of this. The earth don't need us. The earth don't need us. She will shake us off, and there will be famine, and we will go through a lot of hell. There's no more black communities like it used to be. There's more Indian and other foreign communities that are united more than black people. And I want black people to start knowing that you are a unique breed of people. We are so unique that we got to stop having other people pimp us. Everything that we've created, other people are reselling to us. The hot plate. Mm. Things that we made, the straightening comb, which is now two plates together, and they press it out. We used to do that with the iron. Lay the hair down and press it. And we are more racist towards each other than I've ever seen. And I thought that Charlene Hunter Gould was a mean, arrogant, snobbish person, her and her husband. But really, it doesn't make a difference if you dark or light-skinned. If you got money or any type of power or knowledge, you feel superior, but that's your personal achievement. That has nothing to do with your spiritual achievement, your mental achievement, your life and your children's achievement. Can you survive a bullet achievement? You know, there's so many people who have worked and really strived in this country of color and have not been recognized. They're under lakes. They've been drowned and burnt. And they struggle hard. They were sharecroppers. You know, we've been obsessed with each other and married our own sisters and cousins. There's so much things that we need to clean up. And nobody is perfect. And we're all sinners. That's one thing we need. Even your pastor. Even if I'm a clergy, yes, I've sinned. I've been ready to choke a few people seriously on the edge. I'm not trying to choke a child today, you know, or an adult. But I'm praying that with everything that the Ethiopian Federation pulls together, Dr. Ron and all those who have any kind of clinical, therapeutic, anger management, counseling, human services background, let's pull together because our young adults and our seniors and our people need you. They cannot think that this country is going to accept you being mentally disturbed, killing your parents, and keep killing people, because it's going to come a time that game is going to be over too. And they're going to say, okay, you mentally disturbed, you're going to do 25 to life, and we're going to put you in a box, and you won't be out until, you know, this, that, and the other, because there's no more room in jails. And we have to start rehabbing people to know that they're part of this society. They just starting to let out people who were selling marijuana, and they should have been let them out. So they can't judge no other country about their drug laws until they learn to face their own. We can't start talking about predators because we're kidnapping our own. We're predators. We're not. There's nobody else kidnapping our kids, believe me. We have kidnapped more of and used and sexually abused more of our kids since this covert, because the gates were locked and they couldn't go outside to other countries to be abusive, especially throughout those who travel in military form. We are an abusive, raping country. People don't just come and kidnap your kids. They snatching women off the street in broad daylight.
Wow.
It is no longer the Americas that you want. We are in a civil war. Biden and Trump, this country's democracy is so on the thread because there is no God in their building nor in their life. And Babylon is the government throughout the world, not just America, the whole world.
Wow. Wow.
So it's people, and we're the last people that has faith and believe that there is a God or a spirit. There's someone who created this planet that is still loving us, and the love cannot be touched by Satan, and he is protecting us, and he is going to make sure that we get through. But we must understand we cannot do this by ourselves. It's not even a color thing. It's a spiritual hatred, anger that during the virus, they're not even happy to be alive. And I've never seen nothing like that. And I grew up when there was ropes and they was hanging. We're getting a movie of Emmett Till. We keep, you know, it's not that we drudging it up, but it was about time his story was told. But there's so many that has been, that this story needed to know. But is this going to help us stop our kids from shooting each other? No, it's not. But it's a start.
Wow.
And this is what we lived through. We lived through each village, each city. Those of us who struggled through ropes all the way to now have been to, there has not been a time we have not seen any, stop seeing killing. There's not been a time that I have not remembered being in this country that I have not seen some type of war. I've been through killing since I was a child, and it's still going on today. The only way I can get peace of mind, getting on a plane, going to another country with less guns.
Yeah,
so we need to pull together, and I'm thanking you all for coming together, and I'm thanking the Ethiopian Federation. Even though you don't see me that often, I am here for you, and I'm glad that the sister is coming on board because we need all our help. And for those of you who have programs and trying to make money, please give people the opportunity to know whatever program you're dealing with. Don't just ask them about what you need. Unless you could prove that the program exists and there's a website, people have been scammed out of money in the last 4 years since this covert. That is unbelievable. So when it comes to asking me, show me proof and do it yourself first. That's all I ask.
Yes,
show me proof.
There you go.
And you do it first, and allow me the opportunity to choose if I want to be part of it or not. This is not a game. And people, do not come on here. This is not a hustle. This is a real program. We will help you advertise your situation. Even if you're young, 9 years old, and you got a business, we will help promote you and support you. This is not a hustle. This is not a place to come and hustle. We're trying to heal, and we're trying to get healed. You see, Dr. Winborn already gave me a doctor, and Dr. Robinson found me a doctor. So, you know, if they could find me a mental and I'm still getting ready to get therapy, you could get some too. I love you both, and I love you all.
Okay. I'm gonna let Dr. Knerick respond to that.
Wow. This is one of the most captivating talk I've listened to in a long time. And the pleasure is really, really mine. And I'm looking forward to having a deeper relationship with you, Ms. Smith.
Yes.
Dr. Ron, if you would permit me,
yes.
I want to talk about our current program in the Kingdom of Man. We have been fighting the 1%. And there are things that's going on in the background that you would never believe or understand. So we have been trying for several years to bring monies to people. There is money sitting in the bank right now with your name on it. I'm saying this because I know. There is sufficient to end poverty. No child should go hungry. No one should go without a home. The level of gifting that is being given from His Majesty Michael Uriel I. One of our current programs is a wealth management program. And the bigger banks, the banks that are controlled by the 1%, they have done all sorts of things to prevent the monies from coming through. But I'll say this, we're going to get the monies to the people with or without them. And I will say it again, their day is coming, and it's coming more quickly than they think. But we will do a wealth management agreement with a bank, a casino. If you have a financial company that links to the interbank system, if you have a mortgage broker company that links to the interbank system, we will do a wealth management agreement with you. And the wealth management agreement is very simple. It will be an agreement for 120 months or 10 years. And His Majesty will deposit a fixed amount. We usually start in the millions and we go up into the billions when we move funds. And the bank will retain 30% of what we are moving every month for 10 years. It will allow them to empower their community. So I am saying a good idea is to talk with the smaller banks. Let them have an understanding of what is going on, because there are some things going on in the financial system. And coming forward and getting the help that we are now giving will determine whether they live, these banks live or survive. So I want to throw that out there and let people know that that is there. But Ms. Smith, you are a tremendous person. From the little that I've heard about you or from you, you are a force to reckon with. And
thanks,
I
ma'am.
Am looking forward. I know you're a force to reckon with. You have to be a strong woman to raise men.
Yes,
because
ma'am.
We've lived in a society where males have been emasculated.
Yes, ma'am.
That was one of the plans of slavery. Incarcerate them, get them on drugs, emasculate them. But now we are seeing young people, as you said, coming up and saying, we're going to do better than you did. And we are proud of them, and we support them.
Yes.
But we still need, as you're saying, to reach out to those that are not there. They need our support. And we have eaten enough. It is time we feed them.
Amen. Hello?
Can we meet somebody?
Yes.
Everybody's there?
Yes,
no,
got, right. We do have to feed them. The thing is that, you know, we don't have a lot of strong men representing and showing that they're out there in the street. And people are trying not to lose their husbands and things. But yeah, that's what happens when you're in a war. Nobody saved you from that rope. People had to march and, you know, take a whipping and be hosed down. Nobody, it's not like somebody gave it to us. It's nothing going to be given to you. Nothing. I've seen people come here and just get here and go out here and get them a bicycle and put it together themselves so they could deliver food. I mean, you may not want to, but those are the things. You can do something other than just sell weed. You can, you know, grow your own, you know, make juices, create a little box cart. You know, it's so many things that we can do, but people need support. And we got group homes that are so overwhelmed with children that, you know, their father left or died or their mother died, or it's just, you know, there's no more Black communities unless they're living in the projects. And if they are having homes and things of that sort, they stay to themselves or they go amongst people that are on the same level. But I don't see the Black communities like we used to have. And most of them that did were around, people were killed and massacred. And those are things that they need to know in their history. There were cities. We did have banks and lawyers and judges and doctors and dentists, and we had Black colleges, and they drowned and massacred each every one at night, you know, and filled up the town, or they paved the town over and made it look like it never existed. That's how vicious this country is, where you had from one end to another Native Americans that lived in this country. And now you have to ask permission to come to Texas. You know, it's outrageous how this war is. And now they take all the immigrants and ship them to, you know, all of, you know, blue countries, and the red countries are threatening them. You know, Native Americans, women have been disappearing and getting killed and snatched and getting scalped since slavery. And nobody has spoken about it until now. And everything can't be a movie. You can't buy me with a movie. When Emmett Till died, we had more Emmett Tills, but we ain't talking about how Black women died. And you killed all our Black men. I'm not even, when a gay man has to tell you as a straight man that you talk too much, you sound like a woman, it should tell you something. It really does. You know, our children are lost, and there's so much anger and hate towards them. It's outrageous. And they know that they not loved. I mean, I knew when I got a spanking that nobody loved, but that was a spanking. But they know, and they don't even feel anything. You know, it's like they don't feel anything. And that's not something that we want. You know, we don't have animals that they're not on crack. You know, their heart is broken.
Yeah. I want to get a man's opinion as well. I know my opinion is a man, but independent brother is very good. Nathaniel Evans from Nathaniel Evans Podcast. We got 5 minutes left.
I see. How you doing, Dr. Kinetic? How you doing, Carol? Good to hear from you, Little Rom. Always a pleasure. I've been listening to you like an hour now. I've been trying to go over these And like Miss Carol said, you know, we don't need movies to tell us who we are. We know who we are. We see what's happening in the land. You know, Dr. Canary speaks about, you know, creating financial freedom for ourselves and really, you know, making a difference for our lives, especially as Black men. But, you know, like I said, the best, a lot of our sisters also died with those Black men that stood strong in the land. We can hang the women with the men that show solidarity and show strength of unity. We need to forget, we need to not forget about those things. I remember one time I was in a group and they were saying that the men are on the right side and the women are on the left side. So I asked them, I said, if a war comes out, are you going to have the women on the left side and men on the right side? And the man said, we're not at war. He said, we're not at war. And I said, what do you mean you're not at war? You've been at war since you've been born in the land. Before we opened our eyes, we came into a war. When we was in our mother's womb, we was already at a war because our mothers had to fight to stay alive. We had to fight to survive on the land. We had to fight for this economical beat that actually has taken over us and actually causing us to slay each other in the streets, you know, have arguments, you know what I mean, that results to death, right? And it's one thing that I've seen a lot that you don't see that there's a spiritual consequence for the things that we do on this planet. When you go into the Bible and you go into church and it says, as this earth is also being heaven, people don't take that literally. They think it's metaphysically. But it's literally. What you're doing in the earth, you're also storing it in heaven for you, so there's a place for heaven for you, but you're also storing it these things. So you want to store up mayhem, you want to store up violence and death, that's what's going to be there for you. It's like the Most High said, store up your riches in heaven where no man can rob them and morph, you know, they cannot rot or things of that nature because it's preserved. Right? We need to preserve the legacy of our lives down here so we can have a greater passage when we transition from this plane. You can have as many cars as you want, houses as you want. Right, you can buy a fake jewelry and call it real. You can buy fake diamonds that men and women have to kill themselves for in caves and stuff like that. So you can walk around and say you're the man, right? Understand that there is a spiritual consequence to all of these things. So you store life down here and save a million lives. Those are a million lives that actually testify for you. When it's time for you to make your transition. When it's time for you to go through hardship, Carla will find you and say, listen, we were good in the land. You should be safe. You should be preserved from the situation. You should be at peace in your life. And I think this is something that we're not striving for. We're not striving for that peace, that inner peace, that God-like peace that we need for the transition on a healthy level. So we won't have these regrets. We all going to be afraid of God. You know, even in the Bible, we talk about David's relationship with the Most High. King David was scared when he was dying. He was shivering. He was cold. They had women lay on him to keep him warm. You know what I'm saying? But he had a different type of cold. You know, it wasn't that type of cold that the heat can cure. You know, it was the cold that he was transitioning out of his state going into another state. And he, even his great might and his great power and his relationship with the Most High, was also afraid of his death. It means that many of us will be afraid too. But if we do well like King David, honor the Most High, honor the Most High people, honor the creation of the Most High, then we will be like David to have a place, you know what I'm saying, with our Lord, with our power. And we will be at peace. Right? Our youth need to know that there's a greater consequence to what they're doing in the land than just, you know, taking revenge or just killing people, right, or showing hate in the land. Those things actually travel with you. So I share everything that everyone share on this platform because we have the power, even if it's just one of us, to make changes, we make those changes. If it's one person out of a million, it's one person out of a million. I met a woman in the store one day, and my spirit said, yo, buy her stuff for her. And when I went to go buy her stuff, she said, no, I got it, young man. And I said to her, I said, charity covers a multitude of sins. And it was 10 o'clock at night. I'm in Brooklyn, 10 o'clock at night. And the community, I don't know no one. I just moved into our community. And the woman turned to me and said, charity covers a multitude of sins. What did you say? I said, yes, charity covers a multitude of sins. And she said, is it money? Is charity money? I said, no, charity is not money. Charity is love, compassion, mercy. This is charity, right? A smile, you know what I'm saying? A warm touch when it matters, you know what I'm saying? Sitting in the south with someone when they're going through anguish and when they're going through loss, it's forms of charity. And, you know, I didn't know this woman. Me and this woman, I walk with you 5 blocks in Brooklyn at nighttime, and I didn't know her. And we talked like we were old friends. Right? Mm. We have the power to change the lives of one another. We have the power to allow each other to release ourselves from any fear in our community. We shouldn't have fear in our community. I read a passage the other day. It said, poverty is a sin. And it hit me hard. I said, poverty is a sin. He said, yeah, being poor is a sin. Right? Mm. Why? Because the Most High has created all things in abundance, including us. So for us to sit back and say, you know, I'm just going to be poor. I'm not going to do the best I need to do on the land. I'm not going to try to save life on the land. That is being poor, and that's a sinful act against the Most High, because He has created us to blossom, you know what I'm saying, and to elevate the land. The same way He created that tree to blossom and bring forth life through that seed, He created us as a seed to also do the same thing that these trees are doing. When we said He got our favorite fruit and our favorite vegetable and things of that nature, we are also a seed as well, and we're supposed to branch out and produce life. The same way we seek those trees to produce life for us, so we can eat off those trees.
Right. We are at that time now. Thank you so much for your wisdom and understanding and your presentation. And we're just at that time right now. People, we want you to remember Wednesday nights. You're going to be, Dr. Kinnerick has her show on Wednesday nights, 7 to 9. And Dr. Kinnerick, you let the people know what you're going to be doing in the short minute that we have left.
I'm going to be bringing truth. I'm going to be bringing information that will free us and allow us to be have different destinies and purpose.
Amen. Don't miss it, people. Wednesday night, 7 to 9, 347-857-1311. And the show with Dr. Yvette Kinnerick. And, you know, we talked about empowering lives and shaping destinies. What a fantastic show. I know her for many years, and I know that she's going to bring some valuable thought and information to the show. And everybody, remember, love your God, love yourself, and love your neighbor. But the Bible says love your neighbor better than yourself. And we want to hear from Pastor Hezekiah Walker, who says it's got to get better because God is in control. God bless.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been?
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.